Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm sitting over thinking about the message this morning, and we're going to start now, and I'm thinking, wow, maybe I shouldn't be talking about the enemy so much at the beginning, but I will guarantee you that sometime this week the enemy's going to throw a dart at you, and you're going to be able to go back to this morning's message and say, now that's not what Pastor Shirley told me. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you would just continue to fill this place with your overwhelming presence today, that we may all leave this place knowing that we have had an encounter with you. Fill us with absolute assurance of your love for us, knowing that no matter what life may throw at us, you are there to help us to stand. You are a present help in the time of trouble. You're the one that lifts us up. You're the great encourager. You are the I am. And whatever we may need, you supply. For in you we lack nothing, Father. And in you we have peace. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. So we have today. We have the now. So today we don't quit. Today we rest in your love. Today we receive by faith all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Amen. We pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you a little story before we get into the message this morning. We're going to be talking about being more than conquerors, and that's how we're going to end up with the message this morning. And anytime we go into something, we already should have the mindset that we are already conquerors anyway. Amen. There was a guy that arrived at his job after the storm, checked on the building, checked it out, and saw the top needed repairs. So he said, I rigged a hose and boomed, attached the rope to a barrel, pulled bricks to the top. When I pulled the barrel to the top, I secured the rope at the bottom. And after repairing the building, I went back to fill the barrel with the leftover bricks. I went down and released the rope to the lower bricks, and the barrel was heavier than I and jerked me off the ground. I decided to hang on. Halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and received a blow to my shoulder. I hung on and went to the top where I hit my head on the bottom and caught my fingers in the pulley. And in the meantime, the barrel hit the ground and burst open, throwing bricks all over. This made the barrel lighter than I, and I started down at high speed. Halfway down, I met the barrel coming up and received a blow to my shins. I continued down and fell upon the bricks, receiving cuts and bruises, multiple cuts and bruises. At this time, I must have lost my presence of mind, because I let go of the rope, and the barrel came down and hit me on the head. So I respectfully request a sick leave. Now, if you're thinking you're having a bad time, and you're going through a season of something you don't think you're ever going to get over with, but the only problem is that we can't check out of life. There's no checking out of life. There's no quitting. So we have got to renew our mind to the fact, as sons and daughters of God, that no matter what happens to us in a day time, in the time of day, the moment of time, in the season of life that we're in, that he has already made us more than conquerors. Amen. So we can't put a leave in to him and say, I just need to check out of life for a little while. Amen. Well, there are times in our life it seems as we're hit on every side, coming, going, up and down, this side and that side. And you know, just like the man I read about, he was just doing life, doing what he knew to do at the time, just making a living and doing what he knew to do. And things, in the midst of doing life, things unexpectedly happen. Things unexpectedly comes along. And isn't that the way life happens? We be just doing, going along, doing what we need to do, helping people, loving people, working, just living life. And things began to go topsy-turvy. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16:33, he said, in the world, you have tribulation, trials, and distress, and frustrations. Amplified Bible says this. But he says, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. He says, I have overcome the world. I have deprived its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. It says, you know, if you're born again, son and daughter of God, you are not of this world. When you were born again, you were translated from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You are now part of the kingdom of God. And we're just here in this world for a little while when you think about it. I think the older you get, the more you realize that life is just really a fleeting moment. Amen. And just passing through. And there are things that will come at us, things that make us uncomfortable, things that make us hurt, things that we don't understand. And all the reports coming in sometimes aren't good reports that are contrary to we know what the Word says. The word tribulation, though, comes from the Greek word thlipsis, which means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, and distress. Woo! Anybody ever been in that place? So imagine placing your hands, the Kingdom Dynamic Bible says, imagine placing your hands on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That is what this word, thlipsis, tribulation, means. Putting a lot of pressure, now listen to this, putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. Now I got to tell somebody today, if you just didn't get that at that moment, you are free. Jesus has set you free. Amen. You may not act like it. You may not feel like it sometimes. And things around you may not seem like it. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there are times when we may feel pressured. We may feel oppression. We may feel like we've been pressed down. And times we seem like we can't breathe. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, I've made it to where you can overcome the world also. Amen. So the word tells us in Ephesians, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free, but abundantly free. You're not just barely free, but you are more than free. You're overwhelmingly free. So isn't it good to be free? Amen? So we sometimes in life, we get hit by the dart of the enemy. Sometimes we get hit by him. And it's easy in those times that we are hit and we feel like we are. Put yourself in remembrance of what God says. And it's easy at those times that's when we want to question. But we have to remember to who our God is and who we are serving. And at those times we have a tendency to want to question why. And I have found out over the years that when I begin to question why, that it brings more confusion. Because I try to figure out why I'm going through this. You know, you've been faithful to God. You've been faithful to his word. You're just a really good person, and you pray and go to church, you pay your tithes, you love everybody, even the unlovable. Even those you want to smack, you choose to love them instead of smacking them. I know none of y'all ever want to do that. But then I find out I don't do those things to earn anything from God anyway. I do those things out of my love for God and because he first loved me. And those things just come from who I am because of him. It's in my spiritual DNA. Amen. So have you ever thought the dart of the enemy is because you are doing everything right? But he wants you to question the why am I going through this? But it could be that you're doing what you know to do out of a pure heart. You're doing the word. You're living the word. He attacks you because you're a son and daughter of God. You're a son or daughter of God. And you look like him. You've taken on his identity. And the more that you present yourself to him and the more that you begin to walk in line with the word and overcome, the more and more and more that you begin to take on that identity and present that identity in your life every day. And he hates that because he hates God. And you're looking more and more like him every day. Why? Because you're learning more and more of the truth. Your actions and attitudes are taking on who you already are. Amen. John 10:10 says, the thief, Satan, comes except for one thing, that he may steal, kill, and destroy. And he sends all kinds of life-defeating, joy-stealing attacks against us that tries to make us quit and give up and throw in the towel. So which are darts to say, if you're really doing all you could while you're going through this, if God really loved you like he says, why is he allowing you to go through this? You're still in pain. I thought his word said you were healed. You've been declaring that you're healed. So, but you know, Satan lacks the power to steal our eternal destiny. If you are saved, you are secure in Christ, and he cannot steal that, and he knows that. So he wants to make your life as miserable as possible while you're here on this earth, and to steal the joy of the Lord from you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And to understand how he operates against us as the church, you have to go back and find it in the word rebellion. Because rebellion means going against the rule and the authority of God's word. And he hates the word. Because he knows what happened in the beginning. When God began to speak, things began to happen. And he knew that there was power in the word. So when Lucifer at that time that was called declared war on God, he was rebelling against the word, the authority of the word of the Almighty. He was rebelling against that authority, against that word. God's word is power. Through his words, he spoke the world into being. Through his word, he brought all things into being and continues to produce life. And by his word, he pulls down kings and raises up nations. And through his word, he blesses and he saves. So his aim is always to tempt God's people to rebel against the word of God. And he does that when he begins to get us in the place of beginning to question what the word has to say. He starts it with placing thoughts in our minds. That's why it's so important to renew our mind with the truth of the word. Because your mind is going to speak what you are putting in here. Because you can only speak what's in here. And you are continually thinking every millisecond. Amen? So that's why it's so important that we renew our mind with the truth of the word, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the good news. The Kingdom Dynamic Bible tells us that, I think it was John that I just read back there about the truth setting us free, that tells, no, it's not, it was about the overcoming the world, and I've overcome the world, and you've overcome the world. And it says, Kingdom Dynamics says, tells us that the line is clearly drawn. On one side is God with his goodness, life, goodness, and plenty of all that is necessary for life. On the other side is the enemy of our souls, who comes to rob us of God's blessings, to press our bodies through disease and accidents, and destroy everything that we love and hold dear. So, you know, you say, don't talk about the enemy so much. You need to know. You need to know your enemy. Because that which you don't know, you give power to. Because once you know the truth, amen, it strengthens that in your life. And you begin to say, okay, no, that's not what God said. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So this word right here tells us that our adversary is the devil, the one that opposes, walks around like a roaring lion. According to this verse, he is our adversary. An adversary is someone that opposes something. He opposes the word of God. He opposes the truth of this word, the power of this word. So the first part of that verse reads, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion whom he may devour. And I began to look up that word sober. And when you get down to the definition of this word sober, it means calm. It refers to having presence of mind uninfluenced by intoxicants. It means to have one's wits, faculties about them, which is the opposite of being irrational. Be calm. When the enemy comes in, then like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and he begins to bring back to you what the Word says. So be calm. He wants you, when you get that report that's contrary to the Word, he wants you to start wringing your hands. He wants you to become irrational. He wants you to become fearful. He wants you to panic. He says, but be calm. Be sober. Don't be irrational. Be vigilant, the Word. So vigilant means, it means to, let's go to this part first, in 1 Timothy. Why should we remain calm? Because we don't have a spirit of irrationality. We don't have a spirit of fear, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, craven and cringing and fawning fear, but this is the spirit that he has given us. A power, love of a calm, well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. So when the enemy comes in and he starts roaring, because I've got down here somewhere, you know, some people say, well, the dog's bark is louder or than its bite. I think that's how they say it sometimes. That's the way the enemy is. His roar is a lot worse than his bite. He likes to roar. Amen. So be vigilant means to remain awake. Be on alert. So when you are awake, you are aware. That's why we're talking about the enemy. That wakes us up to the fact that we do have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I have not given you that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Be sober, be calm, don't become irrational. Remain awake, aware that you do have an enemy that is after you and wants you to quit and give in. And the devil's roar is louder than his bite. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 54:17 tells us, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. And that's what you do with the Word. You know, every weapon, the enemy, that word prosper means succeed at reaching its intended purpose. The dart of the enemy wants to succeed at reaching its intended purpose, and that is steal from you, from kill you, and to destroy you. But he said, no weapon that is formed against me shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose. Dart you threw at me. This is some of the things that we need to tell the enemy. Dart that you threw at me, you meant it as a weapon to destroy me, to cause me pain, to cause me to feel shame, discouragement, disappointment, hurt and rejection, financial setbacks, difficulties, breakdown in relationships, separation, friends, sickness, infirmity, stress, and confusion. Those are all the darts the enemy throws at us. And circumstances, spiritual dryness, broken dreams, failure, persecution, fears, and oppression. But the good news for me, devil, but the good news for me is that those weapons will not succeed. They will not make progress and find final and complete success. They will not prove strong enough to do any harm to me as a child of God. I may feel them sometimes. I may sense them all around me. But in the end, they're going to prove not to succeed. They're going to prove not to succeed. The devil, the Word says that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, meaning it will not succeed at reaching what you intended for it to do. The judgment that you threw at me, the accusations that you spoke against me, the Word has told me in Revelation 12:10 that you are the accuser of the brethren. Throw the Word back at the enemy when you get those thoughts. So my tongue is speaking the word. And rising up against you, condemn what you have said, and to say that you are already defeated. And you're trying to make me think you're not. Amen. Throw the word back at him. Let him know his place. And let him know your place, seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul uses the phrase more than conquerors. This translates a word that we can only find in the New Testament. And it refers to those who are gaining a surpassing victory. You know, when you're going through these things, you've got to see yourself as more than a conqueror. You've got to see yourself that you have the surpassing victory in Jesus. It literally has the idea of us being super conquerors. Some of you all want to be a superman and a superwoman. You are a super conqueror. Amen. We need to get us a t-shirt that says that. Romans 8:37 says that I am a super conqueror. With a Bible, the word down below it. Amen. To be more than a conqueror means we not only achieve victory, but we have overwhelming victory. Amen. We can't always see it. We don't always feel it. We don't always live like it. And sometimes we don't always talk like it. But that's what the Bible says, and that's what the truth is. The truth is what His Word says, in spite of anything else. Paul writes, we're super conquerors. He uses this word in a present tense, not that we're going to be someday. Present tense, active situation. In other words, he is saying that Christians keep on winning a glorious victory. You are winning right this moment. Every situation that you find yourself in, you're winning. Why? Because you are more than a conqueror. Amen. To conquer is to be victorious over an adversary. So most of us have the idea that if we're more than conquerors, then that's going to free us from every affliction in life, from every trouble in life, from everything that goes on around us that's contrary to the word. But what he says is we are more than conquerors in spite of everything the enemy throws at us. He says, in this world you will have tribulation and all these things, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because I have, you will, because I have made you more than a conqueror. Paul then goes on to tell us that the only reason that we're victorious in this life is because it's through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. Our victory does not lie within ourselves, but our victory rests in him. That is where we get the power at. That is where we get the overcoming at. It's through him who loved us. Romans 8:5-39 says, for I am persuaded. You've got to be persuaded more than the enemy is trying to persuade you to believe something that's not true. It says, for I am persuaded beyond doubt. I am sure that neither life, death, nor angels, principalities, things impending, threatening, things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me. God will never separate his love from you, and you can never be separated from him. Why? Because when you got saved, you got in his grip, and he's not going to let you go. Never be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a new morning. What do you do with a new morning? Lamentations tells us in chapter 3, it is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. And a Passion Translation says that last verse, they are new every morning. His compassion, his mercy, and loving kindness. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. So when the winds of adversity blow, amen, you can remain stable. He will cause you to have stability. when the winds of adversity blow, and you will not be blown over or blown under. Amen. Because great is the faithfulness of our God. So every morning starts a brand new day. Amen. And so we may not know what holds today, but we know the one that holds us. And great is his stability, great is his faithfulness, and he's got you, and he's not going to let you go. Amen. Why? Because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's why we're conquerors, because of his great love for us. Amen. So take this word this week, and when that dart comes in, you can stand and say, that's not what the word says. Amen. Instead of wringing your hands and getting all excited like people that don't have a relationship with God, you can be that stability in their presence to say there's more to life than getting upset, because this time tomorrow it's probably not going to matter anyway. And if it does, God's already got it. He already knows everything we're going through before we ever gone through it. He knows that everything we're going through and how it's all going to work out. You know, sometimes you're thinking, well, you could, you know, let me in on a little bit. But if we do that, we will never be able to grow and never be able to learn to trust. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place today. And we're going to leave this place changed today. Changed by your presence, changed by your word. The time that we've had in your presence with praise and entering into your courtrooms, Lord. We're so thankful that you've got us. You have got us in your grip, and that you are continually pursuing us and bringing us in into more and more as you reveal your word more and more to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are a free people, and not just barely free, but abundantly free. And Father, I just speak your blessings over these people, the people that are here today, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just speak the favor of God over you. I say that you're the head and not the tail. That God's blessings are running to overtake you. That the days of struggle is over. You're not going to try to do this to make this end meet and do that to make that end meet. But God says that you're going to be blessed so abundantly that you're going to not be the borrower, but you're going to just be able to be the lender. I speak that over your life in Jesus' name. I speak the healing power of Jesus over your bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever's out of line, I command it to come into line in the name of Jesus. I speak to that one that's having back problems this morning. I speak to your back, whatever's causing that pain in your back. I command those vertebrae to be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to your back to line up like your Creator created it to be. In Jesus' name, back be healed, be strengthened, and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father God. Yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. I'm hearing the word kidneys. Any kind of kidney malfunction, I speak to your kidneys to function, whatever's causing your kidneys, not to function as the way they should. I speak life into that in Jesus' name. The doctor said there are things that are dying. God says, I've come to bring life to that area of your body. And I speak life to that in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, whatever diagnosis, there's a name that's higher than that, and that's the name of Jesus. And I speak over your kidneys, they are healed in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you for your healing presence in the house right now, Lord. Breaking every yoke in the name of Jesus, destroying it, not just breaking it, but destroying it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. I speak to someone that has been feeling just confusion, and you realize that you've just been confused, and things seem fuzzy and hazy. God says that I've not given you that spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of a sound mind. And I speak to your mind whatever's causing this confusion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be made whole. You will begin to think, I just want to use the word straight. You will begin to think in line. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive that right now, church. Just receive. Just receive. If you need healing in your body, just lay hands on your body right now. There's a powerful, powerful healing anointing in the house right now to bring healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For that one that was born with a deformity, your attitude has been, well, I was just born this way, and that's just the way I was born. God says, I want to correct that. And I want to make that straight in Jesus' name. That is not the final report, God says to tell you. That's not the final report. That deformity has been healed right now in the name of Jesus. Receive that. Receive that word today, whoever you are. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Father God. Blind eyes see, deaf ears hear. Amen. In the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed this week and go out and be a blessing to somebody. Amen. In Jesus' name.